All right, welcome back. Hour number two. If you look at the headlines, which will be going up in just a few minutes, probably 150 stories there. Most of them are very interesting, worth reading. Here's one that I think goes hand in hand, if you've been listening for any length of time, with what I've been saying from the beginning. It's no surprise. China lies. They've been lying from the beginning. There may be easily millions of dead in China from this particular virus. Where it came from is not relevant to what I'm saying. I'm saying that the statistics and the numbers and the information we get from that particular government and all major governments are lies. Lies. Why do I even bring this up? All of a sudden, there are 21 million fewer cell phone users registered in China in the last 3 months. You connect the dots. Talk last hour about leadership, intelligence, the idea that Americans and all peoples should be able to have the right and certainly the tools to look at the territory around them, the big picture, and make logical deductions about where they are, who's in charge, and what's being done to them. This virus is being clearly used by design. It's a long-term plan to take us in to the next stage on the planet. We're talking about things that you've heard other people say. Digital currency, that's coming. Voting online, if they call it even voting anymore, it's a joke. We all know that. But the big one is going to be mandatory vaccinations. If you don't get vaxxed, you won't have access to your digital currency. That's one way they're going to do it. This has all been planned. Nothing is left to chance. There are no coincidences of any magnitude anymore on this planet. And those who are in control are as dark and evil as it gets. There's one person on this planet that is looked up to in extraordinary dimensions for leadership by way of his own way of presenting reality to people so they can consider it. His name is David Icke. He's been a friend of mine for over 30 years now. And David is up early in the UK. We're very grateful always when he gets up to spend some time with us. Hello, mate. Welcome back.
Morning, Jeff. It's lockdown Britain now. The most predictable thing you could ever imagine, I've been saying it for some time, as the government has been saying, well, maybe, and we're considering, and you go, hold on a second. Yeah, yeah. This is a script. It's a global script. And what we had in the last few days here was a classic, because obviously there were restrictions put in, and then over the weekend, it was a lovely weekend, and people went out, and they you know, went for walks, they went into national parks and other places, and there was such a media backlash against it, in terms of, you know, this is terrible and people shouldn't be allowed to do this, that you knew it was a psychological preamble to what was announced by Boris Johnson last night. So here we are now, where gatherings of more than two people in public are banned, where you can go for exercise once a day, you go to the shops only when you need to. The food stores. And apart from that, you've got to sit at home. And of course, there are many things that come from this. First of all, the isolation, it's something that I've been talking about for some considerable time and writing in the books. The idea is to replace human-human contact with human-machine contact, because they are fusing us psychologically and then even physically through brain connections to AI. they're fusing us to artificial intelligence and to the technological smart grid network. And
what a perfect word for that, David. Fusing.
They are. Yeah.
Perfect.
They are. And so what you've got with these lockdowns, and this is just one level of it, of course, all the other things you've just said are absolutely true, is that what we're going to have now, and you know, we're seeing it already, is human contact or human interaction is more and more via machine, via AI. This is all to push us along this road, as are all these things that people have in their house now, the AI echoes and assistants and all these things. It's to...
the smart home. Yes.
Yeah, fuse us psychologically with AI, and this isolation, this is just one level of it, like I say, is again pushing us in that direction to reduce human contact and increase human machine and even human via machine to human contact.
Oh man, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Let me say something. What David is saying, I want you to use as an overlay this idea of quarantine and self-quarantine and social distancing. Understand, none of this is accidental. Those are tools to achieve exactly what he just said.
Yes, it's a multi-level conspiracy to enslave humanity, indeed going on being enslaving humanity, to transform humanity into something that we would not recognize as humanity. But it's multiple levels. But the foundation of it, Jeff, is psychological. All behavior comes from perception of reality. Your perception of reality is driving your behavior all the time. And, of course, you go one step back from that. Where do perceptions come from? They come from information received. So the more this lockdown happens, the more they control information as a result of it, the more they're dominating information received, which becomes perception, which becomes behavior. And all these things are happening in multiple ways and on multiple levels, and it's a psychological war on the human psyche that we're seeing.
Well, Trump likes to call himself the wartime president. The irony of it is he's not talking about the same war you just identified, which is exactly what's being waged. It's the war against us, and it is not being done easily. These people have planned this for so long. There's nothing spontaneous, as I said. No coincidences. All this is laid out by people who, this is what they do. And I'm not sure that they're connected to off-planet intelligence or not. I have no proof of that, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least. Something's up here. Something big is up here.
Well, you know, I've been writing about these subjects for 30 years. I've been researching it full-time for 30 years. And there's no question for me from the research that I've done over that period that what we call the 1%, what we call the elite, whatever name you want to give to it, is a representation in our reality, which of course is a narrow band of frequencies we call visible light, the electromagnetic spectrum, whatever. And they are representatives of a non-human force that is using them as a vehicle to take over the human race. And going on from what I said earlier, I've been, again, writing and talking for a long, long time about what I call the assimilation of human consciousness, which is, of course, human perception, into artificial intelligence. This is what your Ray Kurzweils and people like that at Google and these other crazies and psychopaths in Silicon Valley are talking about when they are promoting a human brain connection to artificial intelligence. He even gives a year for it, around 2030, that it will be well underway. And, of course, 2030 comes up everywhere in whatever direction, whatever subject area you're looking at in this whole conspiracy, you're looking at this recurring year of 2030. And so what we're going to see is more more and more shocks to the human psyche of the kind we're experiencing now, but also others, which are, if you like, molding, hammering, and chiseling the human psyche into a certain state of mind, in which it will give its right to think to artificial intelligence, and that's the much bigger picture of what's going on. But of course, two other big things that relate to this current situation is that the legacy in the end. The biggest legacy for humanity in this particular virus, they have others that are far more potent than this, is economic, and what it is destroying by the hour is human economic independence. This is why they're destroying small business. They are making rules and regulations and locking down and introducing bans, which are fundamentally targeted at mom and pop businesses, small businesses, medium sized businesses, even some big businesses that are not connected to this global cult. And because the plan of the new world is for it's meant to be a technocracy. We're seeing the technocracy unfold all the time. The technocracy being defined as a society run by bureaucrats, experts, scientists, engineers, and so on. And they will do that through AI. That's the plan. But they plan in that structure, what I call the Hunger Games society structure, where you've got the tiny few dominating an enslaved and deprived population. Which, of course, is exactly what is unfolding as a result of what is happening with this virus. Right. But the idea is that the business, food, all production, is actually globally dominated by a handful of corporations that are completely owned by this global cult. And of course, we have an absolute example staring us in the face of what I'm talking about in Amazon. That's what I mean. And so to do that, you've got to destroy independent business and to create dependency, because this is what it's all about. Dependency equals control. To create dependency, you have to destroy independent means of economic livelihood. And that is what they're doing. And that's what, in this case, I would say, there are many elements to this, of course, and we've discussed one or two already. But the big one relating to this virus is the economic consequences, because this, when this lockdown ends around the world, and of course, it won't be rolled back to where we were before.
Nope.
A lot of the things they bring in will stay there. We saw that after 9/11. But when it ends and people start to come out again, they are going to be staring at a completely different world. In which there will be massive dependency that wasn't there before. And what they're talking about, we see it already circulating, is, we've got to sort this out. We've got to do something. I mean, look, you know, people, businesses, so what can we do? I know, guaranteed income. And I've been writing about this for so long again, about this plan for the guaranteed income. What does that mean? First of all, the guaranteed income would be tiny, so you would be in that deprivation situation in the bottom of the Hunger Games pyramid. Also have to behave as the state demands to get the guaranteed income. And if you say, well, stick your guaranteed income, I'm gonna express my freedom, then they would say, well, where are you going to earn your money? You know, that virus has destroyed, you know, the economy and jobs. And, oh, by the way, AI is taking over all the others, you know. And when you look at China, it is, as I've been saying for decades, the blueprint for the world. Because China has lived in a tyranny, it means that what in the West they have to pay lip service to, in terms of change and centralization of power, etc., they have to do it in a way that, oh no, it's not taking your freedom away. In China, this is what's going on, we're doing this. And so that is further ahead, you know, further ahead, although we are catching up very quickly in the West, where the world is being taken. And so you look at their social credit system, where you get credits if you behave the way the government wants, you have them taken away if you behave otherwise. And we have now millions of Chinese people banned from flying, banned from going on trains, because they have lost too many social credits. And what they have, of course, because it's a technocracy, that's what China is, is millions of face recognition cameras. So your behavior is being tracked all the time, in real time, 24/7, to run this social credit system. And that's what they want to bring to the West. And one of the legacies, again, of this current virus situation is we must never have this again. We must track people and make sure that, you know, we're tracking their health and everything. So we need to track people. And a lot of people, in their fear and terror of the consequences, will agree to that and even demand
they'll give it all up.
People who question the current situation are being demonized.
Yeah, they'll give up all of their freedoms for safety. That's the oldest game in the book. Now, as far as businesses go, you made a wonderful point. This will wipe out most small businesses. They won't be bailed out. The bailouts are going to the big corporations, and I've got a couple lists of those already. Everything from Boeing to the cruise ship industry. Trump said, oh, we need the cruise ship. It's a big business. We're going to have to take care of them. These people are all going to get bailouts. What's a bailout? It's free money. It's your money. Does the business down the street from you get a dime? No. If they're lucky, they might get a loan, but that's it. This is all corrupted and all designed to take away choice. And that's what they're doing.
Choice and dependency. It's always dependency. Because once you're dependent on this this cult via its various multiple faces, then they got you. And that's what's happening now. And people in their reaction and fear in large numbers are not getting what's happening. The world has changed. The world has changed in a way that people are going to be, who haven't considered this, are going to be shocked about. And what they are manipulating, and they do it brilliantly. I mean, they're sick, and in the end, they're stupid from a big picture point of view.
Yes.
But in terms of wisdom, in terms of all these things, consciousness, but in terms of understanding the human psyche and how to manipulate it, they are brilliant. They are experts. And the big human response system that they focus upon, and my goodness me, are they doing it now, is this, for so many people, this innate fear of death, which is an expression of the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And so once you trigger that survival response system, which doesn't think, it reacts. It's the system that whacks the brakes on when someone walks in front of your car.
It's a reflex.
It's a reflex. And so all this panic buying and stuff is an expression of the survival mechanism. And the survival mechanism says, if I have to survive because you don't, then that's fair enough, because I must survive. And so I'm going to buy as much as I can, and if you go without, well, it's too bad. I must survive. Of course, the same survival mechanism kicks in with acceptance of draconian measures and draconian impositions because the survival mechanism says, well, I don't care how draconian they are, as long as I feel it increases my ability to survive, then I'll go for it. And by the way, you who are questioning this, well, you are, by questioning this draconian lockdown situation, you are threatening my survival. So I'm going to turn on you. And this is how it goes. And it's a simple thing. Once you move to a state of consciousness, a state of self-identity, a state of awareness, where you self-identify not as your name and your life story and your labels, which are experiences, not you, and you start to identify with being a point of attention within an internal infinite state of consciousness, the first thing that goes is you lose your fear of death, because you know what death is. It's very simple. It is a transfer of your point of attention. That's what death is. And once you start to come from that that point, then you lose the fear of death. And when you lose the fear of death, the ability to intimidate you and to trigger that survival mechanism, which doesn't think and doesn't consider, just goes, ah, we're all going to die, save me, goes. And when that goes, so does the vast majority of the ability of this cult, this network, to intimidate you into
submission,
unquestioningly going in the direction that they want you to go.
Here's another one for you. I mentioned this bailout thing where this government always comes up with enormous amounts of taxpayer dollars to bail out the big boys, their cronies. What? The airlines, the hotels, and I mentioned the cruise ship industry is going to get bailed out. You watch. You're not going to believe this one, David, but the ADL is petitioning Congress for a federal bailout.
Oh, my God. I know. Well, the ADL, the massively funded ultra-Zionist censorship network, is asking for bailout money from the government and the taxpayer. When it comes to no shame, that takes us into the stratosphere. But of course, we saw this, Jeff, didn't we? In after 9/11, when there was a downturn, after the crash of 2008, the pigs stick their snouts in the trough, justifying bleeding the taxpayer dry while leaving the taxpayer to take the consequences.
Here's more. Get this one. Well, you mentioned Jeff Bezos and Amazon. Bezos is the world's richest man, okay? Bezos is now asking the public for donation to help his Amazon employees. I'm not making this up.
Well,
it's so despicable what this is.
This is a point, and I do understand why. If you go through your life, and most people do, without interacting with a full-blown extreme psychopath, it's very different or difficult to perceive the level of empathy deleted, compassion deleted, humanity deleted, psychopathy that we're dealing with. You know, as I've said many times, these people make run-of-the-mill psychopaths look like Mary Poppins. And, you know, we talk about possibility, I say the absolute definite 100%, that this cult is a expression in the human world of a non-human force. The identity or mentality of this non-human force, again, as I've been writing for decades, is what we call psychopathy. And at the top of the list of the hair test of a psychopath, this list that was compiled by a guy called Hare, and if you have enough of these traits, you are officially considered a psychopath. At the top is no empathy. And there's a reason why they don't have no empathy. It's because they're not human, and they are not, in the end, this is going to be a controversial, I guess, I don't know. They're not, in the end, even consciousness in the form that we perceive consciousness. They are a form, a biological form of AI. If you have a chat, I've got a computer in front of me now. If you have a chat with a computer and you try to get it to express empathy, of course it won't respond. It has no ability for empathy. It's a program, and it acts and behaves according to program. It doesn't have any emotional consequence for what it does. If you send an abusive, psychopathic email, the computer don't feel bad, just delivers it. It just processes the information. And these people, I'm not talking about all of them, I'm talking the core of the core that's running this, they are not biologically conscious in the way that humans are. They are a form of biological AI already, which is why they're using AI to assimilate us into them. That's the whole point. And so what you get is this, and you've described a wonderful example, you get this extraordinary lack of empathy, lack of awareness of human suffering, or lack of awareness of decency, which they just process and play out without any emotional consequence whatsoever.
No, they look at us with our morality and our concern and our empathy, our feelings for things, as utterly weak and useless eaters, as Henry Kissinger once said. They have no respect for those human values because they're not human. They're biological AIs, as you, David, just brilliantly pointed out. This is where we're going. This is the group that is in charge. This is what's happening. We're being taken into the next world right now. You must understand that. Things, as David said, will never be the same again by design. You don't take your vaccine in a year or two from now, you won't get access to your digital currency. That's the kind of control they have. That's what they're working toward. And boy, emotions and empathy are looked upon by that element, which is utterly inhuman, as a fatal weakness to be exploited, which is what they do.
Exactly. And what we're looking at, if we just take this one step further from what I said earlier, look at the dynamic between humans and AI technology, smart technology. You have this smart grid, which is gathering all the time, this Internet of Things and all these other things connected to AI. And someone is directing that AI and encoding that AI to act in certain ways, which then impact upon humanity. Now, all you have to do to really understand this dynamic is to put this, quote, 1%, this cult, this elite, just imagine that they are the AI that we know. And imagine that what is controlling that AI is not human, and even not in this dimension of reality that we call human. And you have there the dynamic where this non-human force is manipulating and imposing upon humanity in our reality via this network of biological AI. And you have this ancient theme of these elites once called the Blue Bloods, interbreeding incessantly to keep up the bloodline as people perceive it. But what they're doing, if you bring it right down to biological AI, is they are replicating a program, which if that program is interprocreated, if you like, with the human biological system, that lack of empathy, that lack of emotion, which is essential to be the middle men and women, symbolically, of this non-human force, gets diluted. And so what you have to do is keep interbreeding within this system of biological AI. So basically, you're replicating and replicating and replicating the same program, which has no capacity for empathy. This is what, if you look at this on an historical level, right up to present day, you've got the Eastern establishment families of the United States, for instance, that are always interbreeding with each other. Just as you've had royalty interbreeding with each other and aristocracy breeding with each other. These are different expressions of this replication program. That's why they act as they do. And that's why they do not have the capacity for emotional, empathetic feeling that most of the rest of the population does. And therefore, they have no consequences for what they do. So there's no limits to what they do.
None.
They don't care what happens to children. They don't have care what happens to... does a computer care what happens as a result of the information it processes? It doesn't have that capacity. Neither do these.
Well, you just said it. That's it. How does one even begin to, without access to the so-called mainstream media platform, how does one even begin to try to teach, and I'm using this term not out of malice, but to teach the sheeple what's really going on as they're walking up the ramp to the slaughterhouse? How do you get to them? How do we get to them when we don't have access? The censorship now is deafening. It's huge and only getting worse. So to bring this kind of message forward, first of all, is almost impossible. Secondly, to get the sheeple to cogitate upon it, react to it, think about it, formulate their own new thought paradigms, when they're always staring and reacting at a screen, is virtually impossible.
Yeah, it's a challenge, to say the least. But for some reason, deep in the intuition, I still remain optimistic.
The wake-up is big. There's a big wake-up going on. Agreed.
The wake-up is big. And, you know, I said many, many years ago that this situation has got to get dire before we have vast numbers of people lifting their eyes
and
seeing.
Totally right.
And what I'm finding, I mean, I was the guy who couldn't walk down any street in Britain without being laughed at, pointed at, ridiculed. Today,
that is, ladies and gentlemen, that is a literal statement too. That happened to David too many times to count.
It was historic in its intensity, which was great for me because it let me let go of the fear of what other people think, which means I open my mouth and what I think comes out, and not what I think people want to hear. But the transformation now is absolutely fantastic. Almost everywhere I go, I get stopped by people who want to talk about this information. And we need to also appreciate the vast difference between those that dominate the microphones, for obvious reasons, they're allowed to dominate the microphones, and the views and opinions that they communicate through that means, and vast chunks, swathes of the population now. They're not the same thing. I don't care whether you're talking about this virus situation, whether you're talking about political correctness, the transgender explosion, whatever. the views of the population, or great chunks of the population, more than ever before, and the official view that dominates the microphones are not the same. And so there, and this, I mean, 9/11 was a big wake-up call for a lot of people, because they instinctively felt there's something not right here. And of course, we then have all the solutions to the problem of 9/11, which in itself transformed human society. And now we're having this, and this is so extreme and so globally consistent. I mean, it's quite demonstrably a script, that it is waking up a lot of people. We have this point in the road I've been identifying for quite a time, where you've got this wake-up happening, and on the other side, you've got others who are going deeper and deeper and deeper into the program. There's very clearly a parting of the ways here between humanity that's going, hold on a minute, what's going on, and the other part that's going, yes, sir, no, sir, save me. And it is two humanities that are emerging here.
Yeah, well, they're embracing the matrix, and as you said, going deeper, out of sight, they're gone. We hope that those who care and those who are waking up continue to reach out to David and watching his work. I've got it up on my homepage. No one articulates this better than David Icke, and he's been at it a long time. But if we don't have people who are interested enough in their own, let's call it well-being, they know things are wrong. They've got to reach out to David and hopefully this program and a few other good ones. And there are a lot of them out there that truly are not very good, because all they're doing is rehashing other people's material. That's all they're doing. I've said it before, live streaming is the new celebrityhood. We've got to be careful of that. So pick and choose what you invest your time and your intellectual capabilities in, because it's never been more important that you go to the right sources for the right data right now.
Yeah, and you know, people will watch information and they'll say, well, that makes sense to me. So that's going on? Yeah, but what can you do? And you say, well, have you shared that information with everybody that you know? Well, no. Well, start there, because, you know, they want to create that situation, but at the moment they cannot stop people sharing links with other people in some way or the other, sending an email with a link in whatever. And so we have to bypass what I call the mainstream internet, because Silicon Valley is owned by this biological AI network 1%.
It's the physical manifestation of it right in front of our eyes. You got it.
Exactly. It's the technocracy unfolding. I mean, Silicon Valley has more power than governments. Most people in government don't even understand what's going on in Silicon Valley and all the technological stuff that goes with it. It's the global technocracy unfolding before our eyes. So we need to actually take the trouble. And with all these lockdowns, here we have the chance. Here we have the chance. You know, people will have the time. Get hold of this information that you feel is credible, explaining this whole situation in a different way, and just spend as long as it takes sending this stuff out to as many people as possible. That you know there are, I'm not saying spam, but as many people as you know. There are closing in on 8 billion people on this planet. We have the numbers to deluge the world with this information if people did what I'm talking about. Because if one person sends out, I don't know, 10, 20 emails with information on it,
right,
and another 10 of that 20 do the same, so on and so on, you're very quickly dealing with enormous numbers of people. And so don't, you know, solve your lack of action by, well, there's nothing we can do.
And you better do it now before they take that option away from us, too. They can do that.
Yes,
they can.
Exactly that. Because we're looking at a squeezing of humanity's ability to communicate with itself. And so all these algorithms mm-hmm. and AI expressions of control will are planned to go on intensifying. So while that window is open, to keep that window open, people must act now. Stop just listening and start doing. You know, we've reached the point, and I say this, I see this in so much of the alternative media and people who watch the alternative media, where it's like you're standing on the other side of the street and you're pointing out what's happening across the road. See, I told you this would happen. See, didn't I tell you? And it's like, and then the next thing happens. Oh, yeah, I told you about that. Yeah, and so we are seeing more and more of the game. But the next stage, and it must start now, is to engage with the game and cross the frickin' road and engage with it in terms of what do I need to do, what can I do in my situation to challenge this. And we go back to what I said earlier. Information equals perception equals behavior. They don't seek to control information because it's a laugh and a bit of fun. It's essential to that sequence that leads to human control and human acquiescence. So we can still, coming more challenging, absolutely, but we can still, if we take the trouble to do it, we can impact upon that circulation of information. So we need to get on with it, because as this window closes, the ability to do that is also, of course, diminishing. Get off your backside if people, I say to people who aren't doing this, who are just observing from the other side of the street, because if you think it's bad now, it's funny, you know, we've been saying over the years, if you think it's bad now, wait till it gets further down the road to where they want to go. And here we are, here I am now, sitting in lockdown, and let's not mess with the language, mass house arrest, in effect, Britain.
There you go. There you go.
And this is what's happened everywhere, like I say, because it's a script. How bad does it have to get before people stop thinking of consequences? Consequences are what frees human action that needs to be taken. Yeah, I could do this, I could say this, but what are the consequences for me? Well, I have a question. What are the consequences for you of not doing it, not even further down the line, but in the immediate future even, and even more than that, while you're in lockdown with your children? Look at your kids, look at your grandkids, and just think for a second what life is going to be like for them. So this, what are the consequences for me? I tell you, the consequences of not getting engaged here and working every minute you can circulating this information, the consequences for you of that are fractional, marginal, infinitesimal compared with the consequences of not doing it. It's time to stop finding excuses. Oh, there's nothing we can do, and start doing what you can do.
Couldn't agree more. This issue of how they have brought the culture into a screen addiction is another very difficult thing to overcome. It's a very wicked addiction, whether you're holding it in your hand or you're staring at it on your desk or you're staring at it on the wall. It's a screen addiction. And when you are watching, you are not engaged. You are reacting. You're just watching and drooling, watching and drooling.
Well, I'll tell you something about that. I've just finished a new book, which is all about solutions. But of course, part of the solution is to understand the problem and how the game's played. I've been absolutely sure for a very long time now that something's coming off these phones. This addiction is not just addiction to screens. It's addiction to something coming off the screens.
The frequency and, agreed. Totally.
Yeah, there's frequency there, yeah. The foundation of the human body is an energetic information wave field. And we're giving off waves all the time, and you know, life is oscillating energy, what we call human life. And when the oscillation stops, we call it death. And the consciousness inhabiting the body, when the oscillation stops, and that connection and interaction between consciousness and the oscillation we call the human body, it then releases the consciousness, what we call death. But this technology is giving off waves. And there's a thing called wave entanglement, which is a well-known phenomenon, where waves right. entangle with each other. They become a united field in which one affects the other, the dominant one dominating the other. And this technology is giving off waves. And these waves are interacting and syncing with human waves. And they are minute by minute, day by day, week by week, impacting upon the human energy field, and they are turning it into a an AI field as opposed to a human field.
They're reconfiguring it, is what they're doing.
They're reconfiguring it by what's coming off this technology.
Yeah.
And also the brain, through what they call placidity, they thought the brain, once formed, stayed like that forever. They now know the absolute opposite is the case, that the brain reforms the way it processes information by the very information, nature of the information, and delivery system of the information involved. And this is one way why people get locked into rigid thought and rigid perception, is the brain just keeps, like a computer, a program computer, just keeps processing information in the same way, and people can't break out of that. But brain placidity means that a new form of information, and in this case with smart technology, a new nature of the way that information is delivered through digital means, etc., it is changing the nature of the way the brain processes information. The human brain is, in an incredibly short time, has been subjected to something that it's never experienced before, this smart technology and all this stuff coming off the screens. And what it's doing is it gets addicted to the digital impact of this technology,
right.
in the same way it gets addicted to cocaine. And so this is where this addiction's coming from.
Right. We call it a cadence, too. The idea is lost on people. We are electrical first and chemical second.
Exactly.
Electrical. There's a frequency for every emotion that you can imagine. The government knows this. They were actually using that frequency for fear to broadcast around the perimeters of secret military installations. So if anybody were to walk up near that, they would feel an overwhelming fear, and they'd flee. They'd run. This is a simple example of how they are constantly spewing frequencies out of these devices to create responses and to reconfigure the conscious mind. They do it. Don't underestimate that, ever. David, go ahead, and then we got to wrap her up.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And, of course, 5G is the next level of it. And 5G is definitely involved, in my opinion, in this whole virus situation, not least because of its potential massive impact upon the human immune system. And these people like Elon Musk, who's this kind of, he's a Silicon Valley celebrity. reality. He's a psychopath. He's a very, very sinister man who is putting up, as this virus is unfolding, more and more satellites, and he wants 42,000 in the end, he says, that are firing 5G at the Earth.
Don't forget that. And it's like vaccines. It's not just the vaccine. It's all the additives and toxins in it. That's the message, all right?
Exactly.
And the 5G that's being broadcast down upon us 24/7 is the carrier of God only knows what. Musk, you mentioned Musk. With that, you've seen that video of his Neuralink implant where they're going to pitch it to people, a little chip behind your ear and like 1,000 tiny little fibers that a robotic device puts in your brain and enables you to be instantly connected to the ultimate in information on the planet, makes you a super person.
Yeah.
They're going to sell this night and day to the sheep. You watch. That's what's coming.
Elon Musk's grandfather was the head of the Technocracy Party in Canada in the 1930s. Elon Musk, if there was any justice, would, and he would not be alone, by the way, but certainly him, because of what he's doing with these satellites and what you've just described, he should be on trial for genocidal crimes against humanity, because that's what he's involved in by creating this 5G from space. And he is absolutely not what he appears to be. And I would be delighted personally to throw his cell key mid-Atlantic because the human race will be a much safer place. Although, having said that, of course, Musk is all front, but he's a gopher. He's a front man. He's not really generate. He's not really behind it, but he is selling it, which is just as bad.
He's their poster boy. David, go get some rest. Thanks for getting up. Always great to talk with you.
Pleasure.
And we'll keep at it. All right. You be well. Take care.
Cheers, Jeff. All the best, bud. Bye.
Yeah. Good night. David Icke. And you can see his newest video. It's a wonderful interview up on the homepage at Rents. Take a look. The banner's up there. And we'll be right back. Hang on.